The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 468 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on the Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. Love to see the five-star reviews there. And you can follow me on Twitter. You can weigh in on all of the topics. And we do have another jam-packed show coming up today. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Don't be bashful there, TheSportsRPT, for those of you on Twitter. Quick question. Am I asking too much to get one stinking NBA playoff game that's close? Every game is a rout. It is awful. I don't really care who wins. Just give me a game that goes down to the wire, please. The conference semifinals have been terrible. Three games on Sunday decided by an average of 16 points. Good grief. And I'm a hoops junkie. Give me something here, NBA. I am proud to say I've avoided talking about LaVar Ball on this show. However, I can't hold back anymore. I'll get to the Kentucky Derby. 158,000 in attendance at Churchill Downs. Just think about that number of people for a second. It's nuts. Fenway Park in Boston holds 38,000. So envision a sold-out Red Sox home game and then multiply that by four and then throw in another 6,000 people. It is a mass of humanity. I haven't been to a Kentucky Derby yet. It is on my bucket list. And I've got a story about this year's race that you don't want to miss. I know a lot of you prefer MMA to boxing. I'm still a boxing fan. I've always taken time on the show to talk about the big fights. We've had two of them in the last 2 weeks. Only one lived up to the hype. And believe it or not, that was in the heavyweight division, which is often criticized. We have a mega fight on the horizon. Stay tuned for a segment on the sweet science and how I knew Canelo Alvarez would win easily. I also want to get into fan behavior and praise a Red Sox fan and that organization for that, how they handled an idiot fan recently. Plus, Stanley Cup playoffs. How about Ricky Stenhouse Jr. stealing the show late at Talladega? Busy show here on episode 468 of the Sports Report podcast, with you every Monday on GrizzlyProductions.tv. And of course, in the podcast section of iTunes, just search for The Sports Report with Paul Roberts. The show will come up. Again, you can sound off on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. We'll start with basketball. The closest game on Sunday was Cleveland at Toronto, and that was 109-102 Cavs. Another sweep for LeBron and company. They do some more spring cleaning, got the brooms out. LeBron's going to the Eastern Conference Finals for the seventh consecutive year. The LeBron haters, I think, are in permanent hibernation. At least until, you know, they lose a game in the finals to, let's say, Golden State. And then everybody and their brother will be telling me again about how this guy stinks and he's overrated and he's not a top 10 player and on. And it's unbelievable how little respect the guy gets for being a legend. Cavs are 8-0 this postseason. LeBron had 35, 9 boards, 6 assists in the closeout game. Kyrie Irving, 27 and 9 assists. Kyle Korver added 18 off the pine, 4 of 6 from downtown. He is an X factor for Cleveland. That was a really, really smart pickup by their front office, and I don't know if they've received enough credit for that move. You can never have enough shooters around a guy like LeBron who's going to draw so much attention. And now you can kick to Korver. He can be a deadly three-point shooter. As for Toronto, winning this series was never going to happen. But once Kyle Lowry went down, they had zero shot. No way, no how. Get out the golf clubs. Season's over for the Raptors. They still have a decent team if Lowry's healthy, but they're not on the level of the Cavaliers. And now Cleveland can rest up for either Boston or Washington. The Wizards destroyed the Celtics in Game 4, 121-102. They are tied at 2. This one was about the third quarter. How about a 26-0 run? How does that happen? 26-0? I mean, that doesn't happen in high school when the varsity scrimmages the JV team. How the hell is that happening in the Eastern Conference semifinals? 26-0? Beal had 29 points. He was on fire, 11-16 from the field. Wall did not shoot it well, but still had 27 and throw in 12 assists. Good luck trying to stay in front of that guy. 18 for Porter, 16 for Morris. Terrific balance for Washington. When they're getting contributions like that from Porter and Morris, good luck. Boston had 18 turnovers. Bradley held to 5 points in this game. Game 5 coming up on Wednesday. So we know it's going at least 6, which means Cleveland's veteran players can rest and they will be ready to go. A huge favorite in my book in the Eastern Conference Finals. The nightcap Sunday, another blowout, another behind the woodshed special. Houston over San Antonio, 125-104. James Harden had 28 and 12 assists. Eric Gordon went for 22 off the bench, including 6 threes. That was the story of this game. Houston sank 19 threes. Meanwhile, the Spurs were 7 of 23 from downtown. So Houston made 12 more three-pointers. That's plus 36 from beyond the arc. That's the ball game, my friends. They are even at 2 games apiece. Game 5 is Tuesday. So we have some competitive series, but I want to see some competitive games here in the conference semifinals. Much more to come. Kentucky Derby, some boxing, idiot fans, Stanley Cup playoffs. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which helps you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that's important to each and every one of us. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and a white noise that's designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He is the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So go to iHomeAudio.com and take a look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Once again, the website iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 468 of the Sports Report podcast, Paul Roberts hanging out with you on Mondays. Let's get to LaVar Ball. I'll try to keep this quick because the guy is just a waste of oxygen. Unfortunately, a lot of the national shows have bought into this guy because he says outlandish things and they'll put him on. I have rarely, if at all, discussed him, but he unveiled his big baller brand of shoes designed for his son, Lonzo. And the prices are out. The main pair, $495. I kid you not. Can't make this stuff up. An autographed pair, they go for $995. A grand for sneakers. Now, the sandals with the Lonzo Ball logo, they go for the low, low price of $220. I mean, we're talking bargain basement here, like the Mickey D's dollar menu, right? I mean, that is a steal right there. You probably know the story by now. The major shoe companies said they were not interested in a deal that was pitched to them by LeVar Ball. Surprise, surprise. Shaq responded on Twitter, and I have to give a big tip of the cap to Shaq because he said, "Hey, LeVar, real big baller brands don't overcharge kids for shoes." Shaq just got bonus points on the Roberts respectometer. LeVar responded, you knew he would, and said, quote, "If you can't afford the Zo2s, you're not a big baller," end quote. You know what came to mind? And this movie was on just last week. I was flipping through it, and A Few Good Men was on. And it's a classic. I mean, it's an all-timer. And everybody knows the scene in the courtroom, right? With Tom Cruise at the end, Jack Nicholson, they're going back and forth. Did you order the code red? You can't handle the truth, all that stuff. But I want to take you and Google this if you haven't seen it. Another scene earlier in that movie where Tom Cruise has had a little bit too much to drink, sipping back on Grandpa's cough medicine, if you know what I mean. And he uses the phrase, galactically stupid. I think that applies here. Go Google Tom Cruise, A Few Good Men, galactically stupid scene. And you'll have a laugh or two. But that's what I think of when I hear LeVar Ball talking. The galactically stupid. I mean, telling kids essentially that you're not a big-time player if you can't afford his sneakers. Good grief. I feel bad for the son, who's projected to be a top three pick in the draft, which is coming up June 22nd. Played at UCLA, really good point guard. But, I mean, his dad has cost him a lot of money. Matt Powell covers the shoe business for NPD Group. That's a market retail tracking firm. And he said that Lonzo could have gotten $2 million a year for 4 or 5 years on his first shoe deal. And then could have possibly re-signed for a lot more if he ends up being a really good player. And I think he'll be a good player. But that's out the window now because the dad just keeps going and going and going with ridiculous stuff. It is tough to take. Really is. If you want to weigh in on LeVar, you can on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I mean, parents out there, what do you do if your son comes to you and says he wants these sneakers for $500 or the autographed ones for $1,000? I mean, do you just laugh? Do you cry because you raised a goober? I mean, what do you do if asked for something like that? And speaking of a sad state of affairs, let's go up to Boston. The Red Sox permanently banned a man from Fenway that they say used a racial slur toward another fan last week. Now, this is separate from what happened with Adam Jones of the Orioles, which was a total disgrace. Red Sox president Sam Kennedy said, quote, "I'm here to send a message loud and clear. The treatment of others that you've been reading about here lately is unacceptable. We have to recognize that this exists in our culture. It is not indicative of Boston. It's a handful of ignorant and intolerant people." So they took action. Jones said he was called the N-word by someone in the stands. And then he said, and other players weighed in too, that this has happened at Fenway Park for several years. The mayor apologized. The governor apologized to Jones. But I want to talk about a fan who's from Boston. His name is Calvin Hennick. And Calvin's white. He's part of a mixed race family. He brought his biracial son to his very first Red Sox game last Tuesday, part of a birthday present. Pretty cool, right? Well, sadly, some moron who was near them decided to use a variation of the N-word in reference to the national anthem singer. Class act here. So Calvin asked him to repeat it, and the fan, believe it or not, did. So then Calvin got security, and they threw this fan out. Now, I applaud Calvin for what he did, and I really, really hope that more fans do the same. I mean, I have got zero tolerance for racists. Zero. I have a cousin who's biracial. I mean, anyone who judges people on the color of their skin, that's the scum of the earth, really. So these people should be pointed out, and they should be banned for life at all sporting events. Just because you buy a ticket does not mean you can act like a donkey, all right? Now, it's sad in 2017 that this continues, but I'm not surprised. We have some really sick and stupid individuals out there. It's sad, but it's true. So, great job by Calvin. And I'm not even talking about just racial slurs. If you're hearing profanity that's out of control, and you know the word I'm talking about, if you're hearing that, if you're seeing physical altercations, if you're seeing fights in the seats, go get security. If you don't want to confront the people yourself, go get security, point these loser meatheads out, and get them thrown out for life. That's what should happen. I have no time for that garbage. Kick them to the curb permanently. Never allowed back. That's what should happen. Your thoughts appreciated on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. This is episode 468. All right, you know I like to play the ponies, right? Well, this year's Kentucky Derby was considered wide open. No dominant horse, no American Pharoah like we had a couple years ago, no clear-cut favorite. There were four horses that odds makers were focused on. Classic Empire was the morning line favorite at 4-1. He won the Arkansas Derby, which is a big, big race, and he was the best horse as a two-year-old last year. Lots of talent, but, and this is a Fat Albert-sized but, extremely temperamental horse. Unseated his jockey in a race last September and refused to train at times this year. I mean, really, really high strung. Always Dreaming went off as the 9-2 favorite Saturday. Todd Pletcher's the trainer. You've heard me talk about him for many years, one of the best in the business, but he had only won one Derby in 45 starts. Always Dreaming ran away with the Florida Derby last month, was 3-for-3 this year coming into Saturday. Irish War Cry was my choice. 4 wins in 5 starts. Won the Wood Memorial a month ago by 3.5 lengths. A rare New Jersey bred horse in the Kentucky Derby. And then we had McCracken, who won all 3 of his races at Churchill Downs as a 2-year-old. So clearly he liked the track, and that's something that the wise guys look for. Because there wasn't a dominant horse out there, and because of the rain and the slop and the element of unknown when it comes to how will these horses react to a crowd of almost 160,000 people, I decided that the best strategy was to throw in some long shots along with the favorites in my exactas, and then I did one trifecta. Okay, hoping that a long shot hits the board and I end up with a monster payday. But I would include a couple of the favorites on each ticket. Turns out my strategy was dead on, but my execution was not. Now, my buddy Scott and I, we always go in 50-50 on our wagers. And Scott really isn't into horse racing, just likes to go. So I usually do the research, I make the picks. Because, you know, I'm spending a lot of time reading about the contenders the week of the Derby, about the top horses, the value picks, the long shots, looking at the trainers, the jockeys here. So by Saturday, I'm ready to roll with my picks. Well, Scott has a friend who is really into handicapping horse races. In fact, this guy was out in Vegas once for a handicapping tournament. So I tell Scott, I say, hey, find out who this guy likes in the Derby. And he gives us the 10, the 11, and the 17. The 10, Gunavera, and the 17, Irish War Cry, were horses that I already included in our trifecta. I used 5 horses, okay, and I boxed it. So those 2 were already in. But the 11 horse, Battle of Midway, was a huge underdog, 40-1. And not one single story that I read even mentioned this horse. Not one. None of the experts picked Battle of Midway to come in first, second, third. Nobody saw this horse hitting the board. And I even asked Scott, my friend, I said, are you sure that that wasn't a typo? You know, maybe he did not mean to give you the 11 horse. Maybe it was another number. So Scott checked, and no, it was definitely the 11 horse. So in my infinite wisdom, I tell Scott, look, that horse has no chance. No one's talking about Battle of Midway, and I'm not including him in our trifecta. The rest, as they say, is history and sums up the story of my life. I had five horses on that trifecta ticket, including Looking at Lee and Always Dreaming. Looking at Lee drew the number one post, which is a nightmare. I mean, that's the post that all the owners and trainers want to avoid. So everybody discounted him, but I had read that he's a closer and the inside post position wouldn't bother him as much as others because he could sit back and then come on late. Plus, the value was tremendous for Looking at Lee. He was at 33-1. So I did include him, and Always Dreaming was one of the favorites. So that's my five. The race starts, and State of Honor, the six horse, and a real long shot goes to the front. John Velasquez, the jockey for Always Dreaming, got a great position early. No issues out of the gate, and he settles in perfectly behind State of Honor, who was the pace setter, but you knew it was going to fade. Meanwhile, Classic Empire's trainer was livid because McCracken came down and bumped into Classic Empire out of the gate. Those were two of the top four contenders. And the trainer said that Classic Empire looked like he had been in a heavyweight boxing match. I mean, his eye was shut, covered in mud, really bad trip. And that can happen in a 20-horse field. I mean, usually in a horse race, you have 8, maybe 10 horses, not 20. I mean, this is abnormal, very crowded, and the start is chaos. Plus, you had mud flying all around because of the rain that they got there. So anyway, on the final turn, Always Dreaming took control. State of Honor faded. Looking at Lee, who I have, moves up to second. Although he did not threaten Always Dreaming for the lead, he was in second. So now I'm wondering who is in third, because I have the first two and they're looking all right. Wouldn't you know, it's the 40-1 shot Battle of Midway, the 11 horse that I didn't play. Ugh. The horse that my friend Scott told me to include, and I did not. I felt like a cannonball hit me in the gut. I was just numb. A 33-1 coming in second, a 40-1 coming in third, and I knew the trifecta was going to be a monster payout. And finally, I almost did not want to look. Finally, it comes up on the TV, and a dollar try paid nearly $8,300. That's right, over $8,000. And my mouth just dropped. At first, it was more shock than disgust. I mean, I had the five. I had the one. But I didn't put the 11 in. Ugh. Absolutely brutal. Scott and I would have split $8,300. So you're talking $4,150 apiece. Over $4,000. Ugh. And that, my friends, is the story of my life. Always Dreaming won by close to 3 lengths. He's 4-for-4 this year. A big victory for Todd Pletcher and John Velasquez, who also won the Derby in 2011. The win paid $1.63 million. Classic Empire finished 4th after that really, really rough start. Practical Joke was 5th. McCracken, who a lot of people liked, including Eddie Olczyk, the former hockey player who's now a pretty well-known handicapper, he had McCracken winning it. He came in 8th. My pick, Irish War Cry, was a disappointing 10th. Now, there's a lot of buzz about the horse with one eye, and that's Patch. And he actually got bet down I think he went off at like 12 to 1. He initially was 30 to 1. You know, people I think there were betting with their hearts and not their brains. Because he didn't have the speed to compete. I mean, he really had no shot. He was another Todd Pletcher horse, but everybody knew that Always Dreaming was the best bet for Pletcher, not Patch. But Patch finished in 14th. So that was the Kentucky Derby. I'd really like to forget about it. I did keep the ticket, though. I did keep it. The show that I was one number away from $8,300, and I was given that number before betting and chose not to include it. Oh, man. Sometimes, yeah, turn to the bottle. Of course, I'm just talking about ICT, kids, and that's what I'm talking about. This is episode 468 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. Paul Roberts with you every Monday on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv, and in the podcast section of iTunes. I've often told you, let the line lead the way, right? When it comes to wagering, regardless of the sport. And the folks in Las Vegas aren't dummies. I mean, they know what they're doing out there. The sports books stay open for a reason. Well, there was a lot of hype going into the Canelo Alvarez Julio Cesar Chavez fight this weekend. It was billed as the battle for supremacy in Mexico. And boxing in that country is like a religion. Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. is an icon in Mexico, a living legend. That is for sure. Unfortunately, his son was completely overmatched by Alvarez. And I saw it coming for a couple reasons. First, I had seen both of them fight before. You know, one of the reasons I do get HBO, it's the only paid channel I get. One of the reasons I get it, I do enjoy boxing. I know I'm in the minority there, but I do enjoy it. So I saw both Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight before. And I thought that Alvarez was clearly the better fighter. I mean, no debate, not close. Second, the initial line, and this is where we get to my saying, let the line lead the way. The initial line had Alvarez at minus 900. Now, if you're not a bettor, you don't know what that means. Simple. To win 100, you had to risk 900. Okay? A huge favor. Now, eventually, that line got bet down. Last I saw it, he was minus 450. So, you're risking $450 to win 100. But you get the picture. There is always a reason why someone or some team is that huge of a favorite. You know, like if you see the Patriots are a 17-point favorite, and there are people say, oh, that's too many points, not in the NFL. You can't give that many points. There's a reason why the lines are what they are. This was another prime example. Canelo completely dominated the fight Saturday. All three judges scored at 120 to 108. Canelo won every round. A very one-sided affair. By the end of the fifth round, listen to these totals. Alvarez had landed 102 punches. Do you know how many Chavez had landed? 25. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. The big news came after the fight, and that's when it was announced that Alvarez, who is now 49-1-1 with 34 knockouts, he is going to take on Gennady Golovkin on September 16th, which is Mexican Independence Day. Golovkin is the unified middleweight champ. He is a perfect 37-0, 33 knockouts. He's made 18 title defenses. He was ringside Saturday. Eventually, he joined Alvarez in the ring. I cannot wait for this matchup. I mean, this is going to be must-see TV. It will make a fortune on pay-per-view. I promise you that. Golovkin, who's known as Triple G, has ridiculous power. I remember watching him in 2013. So we're going back 4 years, and he was boxing Matthew Macklin. And Triple G knocked this guy out with a left hand to the body. Not to the head, not to the jaw, to the body. It was devastating. His body shots, talking about Golovkin, they are crippling. So it's Triple G versus Canelo Alvarez. And boxing fans have been screaming for this fight forever. Now we have a date, September 16th. Great news for the sport of boxing. Speaking of which, you know, the heavyweight division has been down for a long, 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 long time. And I think that's part of the reason why boxing has been down. Well, a week ago, Wembley Stadium, there was a great heavyweight fight. 90,000 people were in London to see Anthony Joshua, who's from England, the champ, he's 27 years old, go against the veteran, Vladimir Klitschko, who is now 64-5. Joshua's 19-0. Joshua won a gold medal back in 2012. I thought Klitschko, for 41, was in great shape. He was 240 pounds. He was moving well. The first four rounds, Joshua threw a lot more punches, about three times as many as Klitschko did, and he won all four rounds. If you haven't seen this, see if it's on HBO On Demand. I'm telling you, great fight. The only downside is Roy Jones Jr. could not shut his mouth in the fifth round, which was an instant classic heavyweight round. I mean, it was phenomenal, great action, and Roy Jones Jr. is talking over everybody. It's hard to listen to. Anywho, in the fifth, Joshua knocks down Klitschko, and Klitschko ends up with a cut over his left eye. Klitschko rallies, though, came back strong to end the fifth. And then in the sixth, Klitschko knocks down Joshua with a straight right hand. Now, I thought at that point he was too cautious in both the sixth and the seventh. I thought he should have gone in for the kill there. Joshua was tired. He was wobbly. And Joshua had never been past seven rounds. 11th round, Klitschko gets hurt early in the round. And then with less than 2 minutes to go in the round, he gets drilled with a right uppercut. He was knocked down twice in that round. The second time was with a left hand. And they stopped the fight with about 35 seconds to go in the 11th round. But amazing action. The fifth round, the sixth round, the 11th round. I mean, those are must-see rounds. And we got them out of the heavyweight division. So if you were disappointed with the Canelo fight this weekend, go back the weekend before and find the Klitschko-Joshua fight, because that was a dandy. I mean, it was awesome. One you definitely want to see. And it's good to see something from the heavyweight division. Because, you know, really, that's been down for a long, long time. So we mix a little boxing here on episode 468 of the Sports Report podcast. Paul Roberts with you, 30 to 40 minutes each Monday, covering everything going on in the world of sports here on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv, and of course, in the podcast section of iTunes. Let's head to the ice here. Stanley Cup playoffs on Sunday. A touchdown for the Edmonton Oilers? Is this the Canadian Football League? I mean, what is it? Seven goals? The Oilers beat the Ducks 7-1. You know, people were wondering how the Oilers would bounce back after that terrible loss in game number 5. Well, they scored 5 times in the first period. I'd say they bounced back pretty well. They win it 7-1 over the Ducks. So they're going to a game 7 Wednesday at Anaheim. Now, you think, well, Ducks are home, that's a good thing. Wrong. The previous 4 years, the Ducks have lost Game 7s at home. That's right, 4 years in a row, they've been eliminated with Game 7 losses on home ice. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday, nothing like a Game 7. And then the Predators. And I said last week on the show, Nashville's the story of the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. This was a team that was fourth in its division, and they're going to the conference finals for the first time. Nashville beat St. Louis 3-1, and Nashville wins that series in 6. Remember, this is the team that swept Chicago, and now they take care of the Blues. So they are on to the Western Conference Finals, and they'll face either the Oilers or the Ducks. How about that? Man, oh man, oh man. So there's a little pinball on ice. And finally, shout out to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. at Talladega. How about that crash? Did you see that? With 19 laps to go, 18 cars were involved. You know, they always say Talladega, the big one's coming. And there's going to be a big wreck. And there was late. It took about a half hour before they could start the race again. Pretty long delay there. Stenhouse Jr. passed Kyle Busch in overtime and won for the first time in 158 NASCAR Cup Series starts. So a big one for Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Busch finished third. Jamie McMurray was second. Rubbin's racing, my friends. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I mean, that's a NASCAR name, isn't it? I mean, you put Ricky up there, right there with Dale and Bobby, you know. So we finished the day with some NASCAR. You can talk about all of the topics we covered on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT. Oh, I do have to mention my Yankees. I mean, I know Chapman blew the save, but they go 18 innings at Wrigley, beat the Cubs again. Longest interleague game ever played. The Yankees, they're shocking me. I mean, I did not expect this whatsoever. They're playing great baseball. Hey, I know it's early May, but I'll take it. I mean, I was thinking maybe a 500 season. I mean, they're playing really, really well. And Aaron Judge, oh man, this guy is crushing balls. I mean, he looks like a defensive lineman. Guy's humongous. He gets a hold of it. Forget about it. Struggled last season when they brought him up, but now he is settling in just fine. I mean, he is just mashing here. And the Yankees farm system is loaded, like a 21-year-old in college. You know what I'm saying? You remember your college days, right? I mean, oh, the farm system. A lot of good prospects. They made some deals, got a lot of prospects. So the Yankees playing good baseball right now. A good race early with the Baltimore Orioles. And the Mets are the mess. Just change it to the New York mess. I mean, they're under 500. Injuries, it seems like, every other day. One starting pitcher goes down, another goes down, another goes down. And now, Matt Harvey suspended 3 days without pay. Reportedly, the Mets did not get into this, reportedly did not show up Saturday for the game. Apparently played golf in the morning, then had a migraine, did not show up. That's what you're hearing about Matt Harvey. But, I mean, it's unbelievable with the Mets. He can't make it up. Jeez, oh, what a brutal start to the year for them. Jeez, oh. He got Syndergaard, refuses an MRI, then he gets hurt his next time out. Man, what is going on? Are the inmates running the asylum up there at Citi Field? So you can talk about everything we discussed on Twitter at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT. This has been episode 468. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for tuning in. Spread the word to your family, your friends, your coworkers. If they're into sports, tell them to check out the podcast every Monday. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next Monday. This has been episode 468. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.